Okay, we're looking at part two of Proverbs 24, verses 19 to 34. Fret not yourself, same title, because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Fret not yourself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and King, and meddle not with men, with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall arise suddenly, and who knows the ruin of them both? These things also belong to the wise. It's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that gives a right answer. Prepare your work without, and make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do to him as he's done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles that covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. He had a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. In this section of Proverbs 24, we'll look at these verses, as we do with all of God's word, apply to us inwardly as we examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith or not, using God's word to prove our own selves to that end. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, three times. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Colossians 1:27 to 29, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is going to make that known in the body of Christ. It's a process, though. And we go from glory to glory through Christ. And we give all glory to God and the Father and to Christ, because he's the one revealing the Father to us, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So look at that. Know your own selves three times. And why do we have to know our own selves? So that we can fulfill the ministry that God's called us unto. And we know it's not going to happen overnight. It's the 1,000-year reign and preaching the gospel during that time, but then judging the rest of the world in the lake of fire. But every man will know the truth in time. Fret not yourselves because of evil men, which is in italics, which is important because it's not just men out there, it's the man within us, the struggles that we have, not being beset by sin, not fretting because something has happened in our life. Neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall no reward to the evil. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Proverbs 24, verse 19 and 20. The candle in Proverbs 24, 20 represents God's word, and we know that. It says that in Revelation 1. And we have wrapped around the idols of our hearts, idols that need to be destroyed by the brightness of Christ coming into our heavens, so that we can be one body full of light. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, the body of Christ, overcoming through Christ. And these are all verses that point to that. We'll just quickly look. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, a city. And then Christ says, I am the light of the world. I can of my own self do nothing. And then he goes on and says, we can of our own selves do nothing. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Satan's ongoing goal is to sift the body of Christ by taking away that singleness that is in him. And Christ's goal through his body is to give us the might and strength to fight a good fight of faith to maintain that unity of the Spirit in Christ. For where your treasure is, Matthew 6, verses 21 to 23, there will your heart be also. Wrapped around the idol of the heart, or positively set on things above, Colossians 3, verse 2. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. So, it's a very interesting verse, right? Because our perspective, our perception of Christ and his body changes, is what this is saying. But when we are in the light, and if we confess our faults, the Lord, then we see the body for what it is, the strength of the body, the many members, the light that God gives us. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So that's the idol of the heart. Having God's word, the light, the candle, but having an idol of the heart, which has to be destroyed so that we can have the word of God purified and see the body of Christ once again. Fight, 1 Timothy 6:12, the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also art called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. And we talked about this miracle of knowing what we know before kings and priests and the world around us. And we know that, but it's astounding. But God says, fight a good fight of faith, believe that, because he's going to deliver us and he wants us to know. This is the goal that we have, is to continue to believe who we are. And that's how we can do the work, because Christ is going to do the work through us. The Father is going to do it through Christ. And he says, fight a good fight of faith. There's work in front of us. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, if it were possible, Satan would deceive even the very elect. That's the any means, but he won't. But Paul is saying here, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the singleness. That's what he's trying to destroy, that is in Christ. And just coming off the heels of that traducer study, which is, it was very, very helpful to help us remember that God's created an adversary to be very tenacious. And we have to be doubly tenacious to keep this singleness, this unity in the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And there's that word, haplotes, simplicity, which is actually singleness. In verse 19, we are admonished to fret not because of evil in this world, within and without. Notice the word man and man in italics in these opening verses, taking the focus off of the sin within ourselves. Fret not yourself because of evil, man, neither be thou envious at the wicked. We're not to be beset by the destruction of sin process, which we are enduring through Christ, even though no chastening seemeth to be joyous. When you're going through it, we are not to be envious at the wicked of our past. Paul said, I forget what's behind me and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ, or the wicked in this world, our former conversation. Rather, we are to flee to Christ, who gives us the power to flee fornication, idolatry, youthful lusts, and riches, so we can receive a reward. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And look at the, Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12, when it talks about those chapters of faith, it's just an abundant, and he couldn't even say, he says in one section, I can't even go on to name, just to name a few. And he went through a whole list of names just to give us absolute confidence that God can finish what he started in us. Mike mentioned earlier, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, the faith of Christ will take us through. There's nothing going to separate us from the love of God. We have to have that absolute confidence. And if we don't, ask the Lord, help me in my unbelief, which I've done many times. Lord, when my faith is wavering, that's a good thing now, because then it's time to cry out and see the Lord fulfill that cry. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I always love this verse because it reminds me of Stephen, the first martyr. And what did he see? What was the vision that God gave him, the first martyr? There's got to be a reason for this. The vision was the Father and the Son. And what is eternal life? To know the Father and the Son. And God will give us the vision. We don't have to be concerned about that. We die daily, fight a good fight of faith. God will provide the rest. He'll provide the vision. He'll provide everything, actually, the strength and the desire, all that we need. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. So that's a sure recipe for failure. He's saying, if we don't look to the Lord, cry out and build each other up in love and ask for that faith, pray for the faith of Christ, that Christ prayed for Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not, then we will fail, but we won't, because the body of Christ is taken care of. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. And we don't hate the body of Christ. It's our body. We're taking care of it. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, which is the contradiction of sinners against himself, against his body, which we are. So we all are going through the same thing. There's this familiarity with trials, not uncommon. We know we're going through these things together. Matthew 24, verse 16 to 19. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Flee to Christ, of course, look to Christ, from whence our help comes. That's the mountains are spoken of in Psalms 121. That's where our help is. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. That's what that's saying. We're not going to go back and pick up our old doctrines and our old Babylonian ways. And woe unto them that are with child, the immature, and to them that give suck in those days. So God wants us to mature, and he says we will, but he's also admonishing us that there is growth that's needed. Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 22. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, your former house, your former clothes, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Jude 1, verse 23. Another save with fear, pulling him out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And we all live those words. It's not like we can avoid it, but when we do recognize it, we ask the Lord, forgive us and cleanse us and give us that garment. Restore the joy of your salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And we know what grace is. It chastens us and teaches us to forsake ungodliness and worldly lust. These verses in Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5 remind us that God loves us and knows the daily struggle we have against sin in our members, and yet he is rich in mercy. Mercy that is shown by giving us much tribulation as we die daily, so we can inherit the kingdom of God day by day. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. And Christ knew this. He said, if you continue in the truth will set you free. Well, how will it set us free, Lord? Through much tribulation, through being crushed under the stone, but it will set you free. Proverbs 24, verse 21 and 22, my son, Fear thou the Lord and King, and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall arise suddenly, and who knows the ruin of them both? We'll look at that word calamity in a moment. God does not change. In a world that is unstable and ever changing, where we are blessed to know the whole counsel of God's will is being fulfilled. So, though the world sees that, we look at it differently now. We recognize, no, this is God's hand. Our calling is to fear thou the Lord and King, and to not fear or meddle with the unstable affairs of this world, the wars and rumors of wars without, of which God has willed without, so that his children can be witnesses of his power that makes it possible for us to be ambassadors and soldiers for in Christ in this dark world. And who are not troubled by such things. We're not troubled by the wars and the rumors of wars. And Christ made this statement to his disciples who weren't yet converted yet, but now with God's Spirit in us, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Was he talking about their time? No, he's talking about what would happen within them, the calamity. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and in diverse places. All these things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Ephesians 1:11-13 or to 12. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Why is he working all things? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, the whole of man. And that word calamity is right there. H343. From the same as H181 in the sense of bending down, oppression, misfortune, implication, ruin, destruction. The calamities that rise suddenly are connected to the plagues that God is going to pour out upon this world when Christ returns with the saints, also likened unto the days of Noah. The elect will be used to baptize the world with the undefiled word of God that will be a plague against all carnal thinking. God knows the ruin of them both, those who don't fear the Lord and are given to change. And commands us to come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. God's judgment is upon his people now, as we know, 1 Peter 4:17, as we experience those calamities via the seven last plagues, the seals, the trumpets, the vials, being poured out upon us now, so we don't need to be judged later. Revelation 18, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Matthew 24:37-39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not the flood came. Not sure why I put that there. Then shall you return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Malachi 3, verse 18. So the world will know, God is telling us, but it's going to be after these events unfold. And took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They'll know, but they won't know God as God knows them, but that's part of the process we all have to go through. Revelation 15, 8. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 11:31-32. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And I was joking with the elders. I said, that was my goal. You know, I don't, if I just judge myself, I won't have to be judged. But you have to read the second part. But when we are judged, so we are going to be judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So God is in the process of judging us. We know that that's how we're being received. That's what the whole seven last plagues is about. And the blessing that is ours to not have the sword depart from our house. The good news is that God is moving the world in the direction that is according to the counsel of his will, with a desire within him that will be obtained to save all of his creation in time, each man in his own order. Job 23, verse 13 and 14, which we quote a lot, it's powerful. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he does. For he performs the things that is appointed for me, and many such things with him. Verses 23 to 26, these things also belong to the wise. It's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that gives a right answer. Inwardly, we're being told in this proverb to not shun to declare the whole counsel of God, which is what Babylon does when they call light dark and dark light. We judge this way when we think that anyone, including Christ in this sinful flesh, can judge righteous judgment of himself or independent of God. Rather, make judgments of himself independent of God. Acts 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And all the counsel of God is what we just read, Ephesians 1, verse 11, that truthfully God's working all things according to the counsel of his will. John 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. When we seek God's will, we will judge justly, like Christ, and be his brothers, sisters, or mothers. And this is what Christ tells us in Matthew 12, verse 48 to 50. We know that verse. Who's my mother? Who are my brethren? Behold, my mother and brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. Christ knew he couldn't judge righteous judgment independent of his Father. And he is showing us in this proverb why man's judgments fail and don't produce the righteousness of God. It takes God's spirit within us to clearly see that there is none righteous. No, not one. And we call no man good. There's one who is good, even God, which is what Christ tells us. Now that's interesting. We don't forget the sum of God's word. What's the value of Christ? Great value. Who is Christ? He's our Savior, he's our head. But in the earth, while he was on this earth, he made this statement in Mark 10:18. Jesus said unto him, why call thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Romans 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Christ and his body are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise and have become the end of the law for righteousness. And it's interesting, there's so many scriptures that parallel what Christ is and who we are. So here's another example. Christ is sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do to do the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work that you believe. And I wasn't, there was another verse, but it's not there, but there's one where it says that Christ is sealed. We'll find that after the study. And that's what I wanted there, actually. In whom also you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, which is to do the work, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So both Christ and his body are sealed. If we're blessed to judge as Christ did, who is our example, we will not say to the self-righteous man of sin within us, the carnal mind apart from God's Spirit, that he is our righteousness, but rather we will acknowledge it is Christ's righteousness working in us, who is our righteousness. Even as Christ acknowledged it was the Father working in him, this ongoing relation of understanding of who is doing the work is accomplished by the dying daily process, which also is only possible by the Son setting us free from sin. So it's all a work of God. Did you find that? Ah, that's what it was. Okay. Just get rid of the nine. So there it is, 27. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the Father sealed. So there it is. Christ is sealed, and the elect are sealed. We're sealed through Christ, and he's the only one who can open up the seals. And that's how we come to know Christ and the Father, through those plagues, through those trials. So there's a very important point. Where do we get to? To. Okay, yeah, we got right down here. So it's accomplished by the dying daily process, which is also only possible by the Son setting us free from sin. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. If we don't if we don't judge matters as Christ did on this earth, that person, me, will be cursed and abhorred by Christ's body for not binding the mercy and truth around my heart, which mercy and truth makes it possible for us to rebuke the wicked within ourselves, a delight unto God that brings a good blessing upon all who take such actions. Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your necks, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. A good blessing shall come upon them. Judging righteous judgment is what will happen if we kiss the Son while it is today. Kissing Christ and his Christ with a holy kiss symbolizes our having a right relationship with our judge and high priest, who alone knows how to judge every matter correctly. Psalms 2:11. So Christ judges everything now. That heavenly perspective changes everything when he was resurrected, went back to his Father, sent the Holy Spirit. Now we can judge righteous judgment through Christ. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Judge, that's Psalms 2, verse 11, and John 7, verse 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. He is the reason we can give a right answer, just as Christ said of himself that his answers were right because of his right relationship with his Father. I can do nothing of my own self. That's, of course, in John 5, verse 30, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, John 15. Contrast of the spiritually zealous versus the spiritually slothful, verses 27 to 29. Prepare your work without and make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and deceive not with your lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done unto me. I will render to the man according to his work. These verses help us understand how we can fulfill this commandment of not fretting. Fret not yourself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. If we are diligent, we will, by God's grace, be to accomplish God's will on this earth. Laying up that foundation of good works is essential against the day of evil, and will give us peace, knowing that God does not forget our labor of love for one another. He does not forget it. 1 Timothy 6:19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Just saying the same thing as building the ark, moving with fear, because the Lord's coming back, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Hebrews 6, verses 10 and 11. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And afterwards, build an house is another way of saying seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It is the Lord who gives us a diligent spirit. It is the Lord, who makes it possible for us to be in the world, the field is the world, and not of it. Fit for thyself in the field. We need to mind or be mindful of our own business, which is what Christ declared to his disciples when he said he has food that they don't know of yet prior to Pentecost. When we are witnesses against our neighbor without cause, be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. We are not about our Father's business. Meddling in strife that should not be our concern, or taking vengeance that belongs to God, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work, is the opposite of, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even to them, so to them. Vengeance is God's. He knows how to deal with the unjust ways of mankind and calls us to trust him against all the adversaries that we read about earlier, not growing weary in well-doing, remembering Christ. And that's the key, because he went through way more than we will ever go through in our life. He's gone through the gamut, but he is telling us we have to go through something. We have to suffer and fill up what's behind of his afflictions. So he knows how to deal with the unjust ways of mankind and calls us to trust him against all the adversaries we will be presented with in this life. Romans 14, verse 4, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon. So think of your enemies as a weapon. Don't think of a necessarily a physical weapon, but it could be that. Any weapon that Satan wields, if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. It's all for your sakes. He's telling us this. These weapons are formed for our growth. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It's all of the Lord. It's not our righteousness, but he knows how to deliver us from the hands of our captors. Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 34. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. We know thorns and nettles are false doctrines. Had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. When we are void of God's understanding, we will be spiritually slothful in this world, not being quickened by the word of God, because we're not being drawn to labor in it as we should. So that's the labor that God's called us unto. Titus 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity within us and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, the works that were ordained from the foundation of the world. The field of the slothful is grown over with thorns, which represents false doctrines, like I said, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down, saying the same thing, that there's no healthy foundation that is laid without Christ and his words of life. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, verse 18, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What causes this slothful condition is then explained as being a lack of diligence. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon, received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Christ comes as a thief in the night. And if the good man in us, Colossians 1:27, if Christ is our hope within, is not being, if the good man in us is not being neglected, we will stir up this gift of prophecy that has been given to us, so that, Lord willing, we will not be caught unawares when he returns. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 to 6, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when you sh they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now you could think about this as Second Thessalonians, or the other one that talks about the man of perdition, because it's saying the same thing, but it's in a different context. So there's an inward application, but there's an outward application too for the world. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. So for the body of Christ, because we're being judged, we're not in darkness, which is what we talked about earlier, because that light is there. God is destroying the idols of our heart. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come. And Christ does know. Well, he doesn't know the day, but the Father does, and he's working in us. So Christ moved with fear, and he was heard in that he feared God. And we move with fear. We are as he is, because we believe that the Father will hear us if we have that reverence and that fear. Watch and pray, Christ said. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because the Father knows the hour and the day, and Christ is working within us both to will and to do of our Father's will. You are all children of light. It's okay. And the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. All the disciples could do was sleep when Christ came. He's telling us here now that doesn't have to be the case any longer. We can be awake. We can stir up God's spirit. We can pray and not lose heart. We can watch and be sober in these times. Even if we don't know the time, it doesn't matter. It's a matter of being awake. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on my hand, on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, verse 1. So it's tremendous, right? All of it is all of the Lord. And God's telling us, look at Peter. Now, what did Peter do before the Holy Spirit? He had the bravado, all right. He had that down perfectly, but he didn't have the flesh was willing. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak when it came down to it. He could not do what Christ can do through us. Matthew 24:43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. If we're being judged in this age, our house is being broken up. And when Christ abides in us, we become the good man who can now watch and pray so that we will be ready when he returns outwardly. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Well, Lord, why don't you just let us think of it as an hour when we know it. No, that's the recipe for disaster. He wants us to be ready always. And that takes a miracle. And of course, Christ has determined that the elect body will be made ready. We will scarcely be saved, but we will be made ready. We will be made ready. Revelation 16, verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Not just in the first time when he came into our lives and destroyed the man of perdition, is destroying him, but when he returns as well. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, which we talked about earlier, and don't go back to the old garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. That's walking naked, is going back and picking up those old clothes, those old doctrines. Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. And God willing, that's all of us. Verily, I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And that's what Christ told Peter. If that he said, we've given up everything to follow you. And he said, yeah, and there's a reward for that. Christ tells us to not fret because of the evil. Fret not yourself because of evil. Neither be thou anxious at the wicked that is manifested in the wars and rumors of wars that will escalate as evil men wax worse and worse, producing this spirit of spiritual slothfulness along with iniquity. abounding and the love of many waxing cold. Things could get really busy. Busyness doesn't equate with righteousness by any stretch of the imagination. Things are going to get worse and worse. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse. Matthew 24, verse 48 to 51. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We ask the Lord to not let us grow weary in well-doing, praying to receive instruction or correction that must come upon all who are being dragged to him in this age. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So, Lord, help us not to faint. Hebrew, help us in our unbelief. Hebrews 12, verse 12 to 15. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And I always think of the Lord's Prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. Forgive them as they forgive us of our sins and trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's following peace with all and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. God wants us to, commands us to love our enemies, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Why? Because we're not walking with forgiveness in our heart. We become defiled. We become iniquity abounds, and the love of God waxes cold within us because we take it personally. We don't see it for what it really is. And God willing, that won't happen to us. Paul says, and this is not easy. This is our daily struggle. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So Paul's telling us this, God's telling us this is hard for all of us. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. But that's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. Hard, but very, very doable and will happen if Christ is, if we're asking for the help, God will most definitely deliver us and strengthen us through our trials. Hebrews 12, verse 22 to 29. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels. Let's not forget that we are angels to one another, and they're also angels, spiritual angels, that God uses to strengthen us when we need that strength, when He brings us to the point where we cry out and we have no more strength, we're at our wits' end, and then He brings us to our haven, our safe haven, which is Christ, and He uses the angelic world to strengthen and minister unto us. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. In our hearts and minds, whose voice then shook the earth physically back when they were at the Mount at Pentecost. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, the carnality and all the sins that are being burnt out. As of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain the work of God. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, and at the beginning of this study, we talked about Christ's immutability. He doesn't change, and we're receiving a kingdom that can't change, but this is the only way it can happen is to be tried and put through the fire and made ready, which God knows how to get us there. He will make the bride ready. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, favor, which God's favor is to chasten and scourge us, to work with us, to heal us, comfort us, and deliver us, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And we're accepted, of course, through Christ. So that's how we do that. For our God is a consuming fire. And I read those verses, but Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, and we know them, Hebrews 12, 6, just saying that that's the process. That's what keeps the wheels moving in the body of Christ. And we're all going through that. We're not, no, not one of, there's one event unto all men, but we're the ones to first experience that fire and brimstone relationship, which is holy, which God is sustaining through Christ. And so we're not to fret, and that's our study. Thank you all for coming out. Hope you were encouraged.